This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Hey, you. Yeah, you, on the job site. Did you know that over half of the people who listen to Joy are allies of the LGBTIQ+ community, just like you? So you may not be aware, times are very tough financially at Joy, and we're reaching out for your support. So tell your workmates, your next-door neighbour, and even your mum to head over to joy.org.au and help us build Joy Nation by making a donation. Joy, your voice, your radio station.
A unique mix of world news and queer culture. Saturday Magazine, every Saturday, 10 till 12 on Joy 94.9.
You are listening to Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9 here in sunny St Kilda from the brand new Victorian Pride Centre, which is not yet open to the public. Well, it has been, but it's shut because of lockdown.
That's right.
Macca, introduce our next guest.
Our next guest is Josh Burns. Josh. He's not a Josh. He's a Josh. Is the member for McNamara.
My local member of Parliament.
Yeah, representing the Australian Labor Party. And ironically, Josh, we just had, before you, we had Katie Allen, whose electorate adjoins yours, or abuts, or I don't know what the term is. I did suggest to Katie that you and her, in an attempt to keep the Greens out of each seat, should have a unity ticket. What do you reckon?
Macca, would you like, first of all, good morning to you, Paul, Tash, Macca. Would you like the bland answer, or would you like the more interesting political answer?
No, the more interesting. Go for it.
Yeah.
Right. Well, so I have been away with Katie. We actually both went to Papua New Guinea before COVID, and it was a great trip together. But I actually think we can win Higgins, and I think that Higgins is going to be one of those seats that will be closer than people expect at the next election.
I'll leave it at that. So I've heard her side of politics say that they can win McNamara. What do you say to that?
Every side of politics can win seats, and there is no such thing as a safe seat.
No.
You cannot rest. There are only 151 seats, and the reward is being able to govern, and it is something that has to be worked extremely hard for and earned. I think that some of the plays by the Prime Minister have gone down exceptionally bad in places like Higgins, and even this week with Angus Taylor looking to subsidise coal-fired power to extend the life of coal-fired power as opposed to assisting the transition towards renewables, I think will backfire dramatically in places like Higgins. And obviously it's not personal. I do work closely with Katie on the Arts and Communications Committee, and no politics is personal. It's about the battle of ideas. But I think that this government and people like Scott Morrison and Barnaby Joyce and Angus Taylor have done serious damage to the Liberal Party brand in places like Higgins. So it's a seat to watch, I think.
Well, I'm just looking, Josh, at my solar update, which is currently generating 3.6 kilowatt hours. No coal being burnt there, Angus.
So very cheap energy as well.
It is very cheap.
It brings down the cost of power bills. Yeah. And I've got solar on my roof, although it's more connected to the water system, the hot water system. Yep. So we have solar-powered hot water, which we didn't actually install. It was when we moved into this place.
Right.
But it's been fantastic and has saved us a lot of money.
Yeah. Now, before we get on to politics, although some might say this is politics, I was driving past Ackland Street the other day, and I looked down there and I thought, that looks a bit like a cluster to me, with another word.
A what? A what?
A cluster with another word, Tess.
Just explain what you mean rather than using euphemisms.
Well, okay, there's no cars there, that's fine. But it looked like a desert that had a few people there. And every time I have walked down there, I've thought, what's going on here? Has the City of Port Phillip got it right with Ackland Street, or have they destroyed a great shopping strip?
Well, my honest answer, and my office is right on Acklam Street, so we're on Barclay Street on the corner there, and I'm there, you know, every day, and obviously spend time on the street, and I, you know, I'm very fond of it, and speak to the retailers very, very often. To be honest, the plaza that was built has had mixed results. So depending on if you're a restaurant where you can have extended space outside your shop and put people, you know, on tables outside, then it's been a little bit beneficial because it meant you have extra room that you wouldn't otherwise have, and you can put in extra patronage. Obviously, the pandemic has affected all of this. But for, dare I say it, most businesses on the strip, what the lack of cars and parking has meant that there is actually a serious reduction in the number of passengers, a number of pedestrians, a number of shoppers, and the other big factor has been also the reduction in the amount of tourists that have come through the Acklam Street precinct. So with, you know, it was a backpacker hotspot. It was also a place where, especially in summer, people would come and visit, and, you know, you'd go and buy and shop at the local St Kilda iconic restaurants and shops. The number of the amount of lost revenue and the amount of reduction in the overall St Kilda economy because of tourism being probably the biggest factor, along with the pandemic, as well as a reduction in the number of cars that can come through, has hurt businesses dramatically. And when you combine that with the overall effect of retail, I mean, it is becoming almost uneconomical in many cases to rent out a place, rent out a front, and have a small business in that sort of high street model. With the introduction of online and a whole range of other economic factors, it's become very, very hard to maintain it, and that's why we're seeing across our high streets too many vacancies. Mm. So it's a real problem, and my honest answer is I don't think the plaza has helped.
Cool.
I think many would agree with you, especially when the only tree that was planted is dead and has now been chopped and pulled away. Very, very sad little state of affairs, that one. Moving right along, our last guest, Katie Allen, of course, has been in Canberra for Parliament over the last week. And will remain in Canberra for the next week and then move into quarantine as she comes back to Melbourne. Mm. Where have you been, and how have you been conducting yourself in Parliament? Have you been in Canberra, or have you been working virtually, and what's it been like for you?
I've been at home here in Melbourne, and there is a requirement for us to Zoom in, or we use WebEx to connect into the Parliament. We have to do it via our electorate offices because of, you know, the security arrangements of connecting into the Parliament. So we do go into our offices, and that's how we contribute. But one of the things that we have to do, and I know that maybe many people out there would actually think that we should do this more often, but I'm just going to say it anyway, is we have to have ourselves on mute. We can't interject from the Zoom or from the WebEx. So during question time, I have to listen to the Prime Minister as if it's on the TV. And now I kind of know what it's like to be an Australian watching the Prime Minister without being able to sort of yell back at him. It's very frustrating. So I miss being in the chamber.
Surely you're not one of those people that yells and buffoons in Parliament.
No. I'm
much more courteous than that.
Much more. No, I do get a bit fired up because sometimes these are really important issues, and you do need to bring passion to this because you are dealing with real issues. I mean, obviously the chamber can be it can be quite funny in there sometimes, but the majority of the time it is quite serious, and it is quite collaborative for most of the time. But when serious issues are being put to the government, it is important that we have a democracy where people can openly and robustly disagree with the government. And that is an important part of our democracy, and I don't think that we should ever diminish that. So, yeah, it's one of those, I know it can be a bit hard to watch and a bit sort of unedifying at times, but I do think having a robust chamber is very important for our democracy, and I do miss it, to be honest.
So let's move on to policy issues.
Yeah, hang on now. Mr. Speaker, just let me say, Mr. Speaker, just let me say, Mr. for God's sake, You don't have
go
to
on
say,
mute.
You don't have to say Mr. Speaker every 28 seconds, Prime
just,
Minister.
Just go on mute.
Put yourself on mute, Prime Minister.
Yes.
So, Josh, on some policy issues, what are your reflections on the way in which the COVID vaccination program is rolling out at the moment? What are your top level
issues? It's a really good question. It's probably the most important question. Obviously, if you look at comparable countries around the world, we are way behind still. And there's no doubt that the pace of the vaccination rollout has picked up. And I think that one of the big changes and one of the reasons why that's happened is because the federal government originally was only rolling out the vaccination through the GP network, and then the states were through the hospitals vaccinating healthcare staff. And one of the things that the federal government, after months and months of urging from not just the opposition but from right around the country, was to open up the different distribution methods of the vaccine, so to enable the pharmacies, to enable mass vaccination hubs predominantly run by the states, to enable amazing local pop-up centres and local vaccination hubs like the ones that are being run by Star Health. The more ways in which we can get the vaccination into Australians' arms, the better. And the federal government and Greg Hunt was very stubborn for a long time about not only doing more deals with more vaccination suppliers, but also the distribution of how we get the vaccination in. And the final thing I'll say on it is our GPs have been working throughout this pandemic so hard. And I know the three of us have spoken about some of the abuse that their staff have been receiving and the receptionists and how difficult it's been, but GPs have been seeing their normal patient load as well as vaccinating Australians. And I don't for one second want this to be a message of being ungrateful to our GPs. They are incredible, and they have been working as hard as anyone has been in this pandemic. But the fact remains, we need more vaccines going into more Australians, and the more ways in which we are able to do that, the more efficient ways we need to be doing that. And so we're playing catch up, but we need to get to that sort of 70%, 80%, maybe even more before we can really feel confident about the position we're in. But again, other countries are already looking at boosters and other things. So it's a constant race. It's constant catch up. It's constant upscaling. It's speed as much as we can.
I thought it wasn't a race. I thought we were told by the higher office that it wasn't actually a race.
Mr. Speaker,
the narrative has changed now, hasn't it?
Now, Mr. Speaker, it's not a race. I never said it was a race, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, for fun.
Josh, In the last 2 minutes that we have, what's happening here in St Kilda, where the Pride Centre is? What's happening here locally?
Yes, good question. So we obviously did have quite a concerning outbreak over the last couple of weeks. The case numbers have been steady, so there hasn't been a dramatic rise. We did have a number of mystery cases that were popping up, and so we did have a call out for people to go and get tested, and locals in St Kilda did an amazing job. The testing numbers were excellent and people did go and get tested in some of the local different pop-up testing sites. So first of all, thank you to everyone who did. At the moment, the numbers are steady, but we're certainly by no means through this pandemic or through this outbreak. So people just need to remain vigilant. If you've got any symptoms, please go and get tested immediately and isolate. If you've been to any exposure sites, do the same. And if you haven't, go and get vaccinated. The peanut farms open today. There are huge lines in St Kilda for people who are lining up to get vaccinated, which is just brilliant. And I just want to say it's the most powerful thing that people can do. Go and get vaccinated as quickly as possible. But my overall message for people locally is thank you, remain vigilant, and go and get a vaccine.
Cool.
And love the staff who are there supporting us, working for us, testing, vaccinating, and doing all the right stuff to keep us alive, happy and healthy.
If you want to abuse someone, take up voodoo.
Or call your local MP.
That's right.
but no, Tass, you're 100% right. I have not heard one thing other than the staff were just absolutely brilliant. Doesn't matter which testing clinic, which vaccination clinic, our healthcare staff in Australia are amazing, and they are doing a fantastic job, and we are very, very grateful.
The Honourable Member's time has expired.
Thank you, Speaker.
We'll speak to you soon. If you listen after the news, Josh, we're speaking with a physician who runs a contact tracing facility, a Star Health COVID Centre manager, and then a segment or so after that, Catherine Bennett. So stay near the wireless, Josh.
I am aware of all three, and I actually had a bit to do with Rhonda and her team, and they are so impressive. So it's fantastic that they're on.
Thank you.
Good on you.
Resume your seat. Resume your seat.
See you, Josh.
Saturday Magazine, every Saturday from 10 until noon on Joy 94.9. Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.